choir for a wonderful presentation. Let's stand our feet as we read the scripture. Turn your Bible to Esther chapter 2. We'll be reading from verse 1 to 18. Esther chapter 2. From verse 1 to 18. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants who ministered to him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jehoiakim, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. But she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his daughter. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also up to the king's house, to the custody of the Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maid pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her the things for purification, which such things have belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not shewed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Mordecai walked every day before the Lord in the king's house, to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's son was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wait 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for purifying of women. Then thus came every maiden unto the whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned unto the second house of the women, to the custody of Chahaskas, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the right of her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hagar, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them who looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tethys, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Verse 18. Then the king made a queen to all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. May the Lord bless his words in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we appreciate you for this privilege. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together again to feed us the words of eternal life. Lord, I'm asking that grace will be released upon every one of us today in the name of Jesus. That our ears be attentive to you. That those things that are prepared for us, Lord, you release them upon our lives in the name of Jesus. That you will transform us today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. I hide myself, O Lord, behind the cross, that, O Lord, your words will be heard and you will be seen in the name of Jesus. Speak through me, Heavenly Father, and glorify your name even today. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Briefly, this morning we are looking at the titled Divine Providence in Public Display. Divine Providence in Public Display. We have read from the book of Esther chapter 2, 1 to 18. And one remarkable thing, fact about this book of Esther is that this is the only book in the Bible where you will not see the name of God physically. But if you read through, you will see God in action in the book, though you may not see his name mentioned. Oh, praise the Lord. It is one of the books, or the book revealed one of the ways that God works. Sometimes, see, there is no God, and it looks as if nothing is happening. But something is happening because God is at work. Praise the Lord. So you can see God at work in this book, but yes, you will not see his name mentioned. Praise the Lord. Divine providence in public display. I just say a few things about what providence means. Of course, when you see the word divine, we know that we are talking about the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. The word providence is made up of two words. That one, the first one is pro, and it means before. Pro means before. And the second word, of providence, it's video, which means to see. Therefore, we are saying that providence means foresight, or you are going to see something before it happens. In this case, divine providence refers to God's gracious oversight of the universe. God's providence is one aspect of his grace. His oversight means that he directs all the course of affairs. God is in charge of everything that happens upon the face of the earth. Both the ones that are pleasant, God is fully in charge. Everything that happens, both the big ones and the small ones. Further, one thing about divine providence, he tells us that God upholds all things. You read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. We'll not be able to read that now. But the Bible says God upholds all things born of his power. He governs all things. All events, he governs them. He directs everything to his own appointed end. He does this all the time and in every circumstance. Sometimes you may not understand why some things are happening to us. But you only understand later that God was busy working out something good for you. But at the beginning, it was looking very unpleasant and maybe asking, why is this thing happening to me? God does it all for his own glory. He does it for his own glory. See, it's talking about providence, divine providence. It talks about God's sovereignty, that God is in control of anything he can think of. It talks about God's wisdom, and in his wisdom, he does not make mistakes. Praise the Lord. God does not make mistakes. Even in the things that look as if, it's not supposed to be like this. You know, we use our human wisdom to look at things, and based on our knowledge, this is, why is this like this? Is God in this thing? God never makes mistakes. That talks about his divine providence. And it talks about his goodness. He has our best interest at heart. We may use our human calculation, but God has something great in store for every one of us. And the other thing, last thing I'll say about that divine providence, of how everything turns out. It may not look pleasant at the beginning. You may not be able to tell the direction, but at the end of the day, God is directing it to come out for His own glory. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Let's come back to the book that we read, Esther chapter 2 that we read. Now, the book of Esther, you know, is just one of the two books that are named after women in the Bible. The other is the book of Ruth. And you see very clearly it's centered on, you know, God using this unrecognized lady, this woman, to achieve great feats for His name. Now, if you look at the background, let's look at the background of this, of Esther briefly. The Bible tells us where we read that he was taken, you know, by her uncle. You know, she was taken by her uncle. Now, and only, in fact, you read the history, you see that the father actually died when the mother was still pregnant. And after some time, the mother gave birth to her, and the mother died after some time. And it looks as if her future was bleak. Nothing to write home about. But thank God for sending this man, the uncle. The man, I swear, would have said, ah, I can't take this body. Why should I take this in addition to all my responsibilities? But God used him to bring up this young girl. Praise the Lord. She was a victim. And on worst of it, they were in a land that honestly they cannot make any meaningful progress. They can't do anything. In fact, you can see in the scripture we read that they kept on hiding their identity because they were desperate to have mattered so many things. And you know the implications for them to come out and they are heroes and they are children of God, that they serve the living God. So Mordecai warned her, never you tell them your identity. So they were living this kind of life, nothing to write home about, nothing to say. They were living in fear. So they manifest as a slave girl in captivity and nothing good to talk about her. But I can see from the scripture that even in that state, God was working. Somebody, God was working for me. They were thinking as men. You know what they that is, you just see that as the wisdom of men as men. That's what advise you how to go past certain things because of their experiences. You know that actually their sin landed them in captivity. After many years of mourning, God warned them. They didn't turn from their sins, and all of them were carried captive by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the elderly man will tell the young men, you have to be careful. What we are serving now is not pleasant. We can't land ourselves into more trouble. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Even at that, they are not wishing you have been. God was busy working. Praise the Lord. And suddenly, divine power began to smile. How did it start? If you look at verse 4, you know, everything that happened in this book, God was busy using different people and different events to bring about His own purpose and counsel to achieve His own glory. Hallelujah. What happened in verse 4? Just came. I said that, you know, when the king discharged the former queen, you know, it took actually 4 years. You read very well, you see. The first one was in the third year. Then in the seventh year, that was when Esther was actually made king. It took a period of 4 years. And this period, should not remain like this. Something should be done. Something should be done. And he suggested to the king that let the families be selected and the one that will please you should be made the queen. That's the beginning of the divine providence smiling on Esther. So when divine providence begins to smile on you, you know what God does? God brings about a divine opportunity. Divine opportunity. God beams His special light on you and begins begin to fetch, even when you are hiding, even when you are afraid, he begins to look for a way to bring you out. Praise the Lord. When there's divine and will bring forth his glory. He brings you to the limelight. Bring you out so that his plan and purpose. You can see that in verse 4 of the scripture that we read. And the Bible says, the thing did what? Please the king. And he did so. This was the very beginning. If you look at verse 9, you know the process. From the virgins, there were so many virgins in the land. But 400 were selected. And Esther was among the 400. But look at what happened in verse 9. When God has begun to play, he's talking about the keeper of the women. And she obtained kind of me. And speaking of which, some things has belonged to her. And seven men is dead. They are literally given her out of the king's house. And he prepared her and her maidens unto the best of the house of the women. When divine providence begins to you know what happens? You become a divine VIP. Hallelujah. You can imagine, she was not the only one. In fact, if you look at her background, ordinarily, she doesn't have any business to do in the king's house. She came on board, even the keeper of the women. The Lord moved him. The Bible said she attended to her with kindness, took her and her maids, and gave her the best of the house. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. When divine providence stands, you become a divine VIP. And nobody can reject you. Hallelujah. And gave her the best place. As divine providence began to smile on her, the things turned around. If you talk what I used to say in verse 17, because of time will run, in verse 17, you see something there. And the king loved Esther, and she obtained grace in his sight more than all the people. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of us. When divine providence, you know what happened? You obtain divine grace and favor. You talk about grace, you do not merit it. But yes, it comes to you because God is moving it in your direction. You do not merit it because it comes to you because God is the first candidate. Can say more to you. You become accepted. He closes their eyes to everything that naturally will make them reject you. Ordinarily, they would have asked, say, what was? You know that the issues that has to do with marriage or things like this, they will make some inquiries. Who is your father? So that we will pay homage to him. Since you are among these ones that have been selected. And you know that asking that question will be like that. God close them all. Praise the Lord. Yet she was given special treatment and attention. She was prepared above the 400. It is my prayer that as divine providence smiles on you, you will be prepared in the name of Jesus. We pick you up from nobody to somebody in the name of Jesus. What did I saw in the passage? I remember the song our brother sang when he was leading in praise. No. See the way you love me. See the way you care for me. You carry my matter for your head, oh.
In a way, open us up.
Now look at verse 17. And the king of Israel. That was God has taken over, and the king had no option but to love Esther. God has taken over the king of Israel. The king of Israel has taken over. No option. You know, if you look at it, the proceedings, starting from not allowed to waste away and to die without care. In charge. Because if we have opinion, we will begin to search.
Is the father a professor?
The father a professor?
Is he from Robo? Is he from Isogo? Is he among? Hey, we have Kokoro, remote or that kind of stuff. All these things will come to play. But when God is in charge, he will silence all those things.
And overtake every understanding of man, and overtake all the gimmicks of men, and place his own where he wants to place it. Hallelujah. That's what God can do. And God will do it for you in the name of Jesus. He will do it for you in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to see verse 18. I'm beginning to round up verse 18 of the scripture. I see divine celebration. Hallelujah. The Bible said, then the king made a great feast unto all the princes and the servants. You know, this king is used to making feasts. The first feast he made in chapter 1, the Bible said, for 6 months they were drinking and eating. 6 months. And after the 6 months, he took another 7 days again to celebrate. What else would the king do? Have you seen such, you know, a wonderful lady? And because God has taken over, the king made a great feast unto all his princes and servants, and even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the promises. So when divine promise smiles on you, there is divine celebration. Where already you know it's celebrated, you see great men, not only men celebrating you, great men and great women, kings and princes celebrating you because God has decided to pick you up for celebration. It is my prayer this morning that God will pick you up for celebration in the name of Jesus. He will pick you up for celebration in the name of Jesus. As I conclude this morning, what should be our response? What should be our response to God's divine providence? What should be our response? One, trust in the Lord with all your heart. No matter what you are passing through, God is working on something. That situation, according to Romans 8, verse 28, the Bible says that we know that in all things, God works for the good of them that do what? That love him. So, in that ugly situation, God is working on something for you. Working on divine providence, no gifts for us, it helps us to take bitterness away. When you know that in this my situation, God is working on something for me, you know the bitter against God, say, why me? God is working on something for you. He's going to turn that situation around for your good. God is at work. You know, sometimes when you see those construction workers, when they are on duty, they write on they put a sign saying, men at what? Work. For you, God at work. God is at work in your life in the name of Jesus. That ugly situation you are passing through, God is turning it around in the name of Jesus. God is turning it around in the name of Jesus. So trust him. But to be thankful in all circumstances. Of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, in all things, do what? Give thanks. Be grateful and be positive that God is doing something great in this that I'm passing through. God is working out something for me in what I'm passing through. This is not the end of my story. This is not the end of the end. God is up to something. And it's coming out glorious. Praise Master Jesus. And lastly, dedicate your life to God through a relationship with Jesus. Do you know that we are better in our days because of the privilege we have? We are better than in the days of Esther. Jesus has died for us. Praise the Lord. We are better. If you enjoy that in our days, if you connect yourself to Jesus, the one who died for us, there's nothing divine providence will not do for you because you are God's candidates. Let's now feel to pray this morning. Let's now feel to pray. Just feel appreciate him for the privilege. What is the privilege we have? Father, we thank you. Just appreciate him.
knowing that God is working on something great in your life. That's why you have not died. That's why you don't allow that sickness to kill you. That's why you don't allow that sickness to take you. That's why your life is working on something great. Because about the minute details of our life, everything, He uses everything. He wastes nothing. He uses the bad and the good to work out His purpose concerning us. God's ultimate purpose is to shape our lives to His own image, allowing us to go through some circumstances. And He goes ahead of us. He goes ahead of us. Just appreciate Him. Give Him all the glory. 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 Thank you, precious Father. I'm praying life with that Romans 8, verse 28. In all things, God works us. Good, concern them that love Him. Just say, Lord, Father, I know that You are working on something great for me and my family. I know divine providence is working. He has not left me alone. Everything is coming around for my good. Everything, Lord, that You have worked. I am not a God of God. Now, the thought she was an orphan. He never knew that she had a God who can turn the heart of man in her direction. Father, we thank You. Thank You, precious Father. See the way You love me. See the way You care for me. You carry my matter for Your head. He's working out something great for you. You will have a testimony indeed. Precious Father, we thank You for the privilege. Take all the glory and all the honor. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.